Episode 114 of Outlander Cast is brought to you by Simple Contacts. Get $30 off your contacts at simplecontacts.com/outlandercast or enter OutlanderCast at checkout. All the way from Cranston, Rhode Island, welcome to Outlander Cast. It's a podcast dedicated to the show Outlander on Starz. Hello, everyone, and welcome. My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I love nothing more than to put sportsisms into Outlander.
Yes, you do.
I love nothing more than every single sports-related item I possibly can to fit it in there. Because today we're talking about the episode, well, season three, episode Power Rankings.
What does that mean?
And Power Rankings are, again, usually reserved for sports-related items, meaning like the teams, who's the best team that's currently available in Major League Baseball or the NBA or whatever. So I figured, you know what? We're going to have Power Rankings for Outlander season three.
Awesome. What do you think? I love it. I think it's great, and I think it's a great way to warm up this totally gross weather we've been having. If you live in the United States, you most likely you've been affected by a crazy storm system that has come through. And it's actually made me think a lot about the title of the last episode, mm-hmm. Eye of the Storm, just because I really feel like so many of us have had it. And we are really excited because joining us today in the heart of most of this storm is to talk about these episode power rankings for season three is Anne Gavin, who we love and adore. She's a member of course, our Outlander cast staff. She recently wrote a blog article on how she ranked the aforementioned episodes, and you can read it, of course, at outlandercast.com. But for now, we're just so excited to have Anne on. So, Anne, how have you been faring in this crazy storm that we've been having?
Well, I just will say I'm so happy. I don't care about the storm. I'm so happy to be talking about Outlander. I have missed it, and this has been already a tough droughtlander. So, storm, winter right into summer and then back to winter again. I don't know. It's crazy. But anyway, I don't care about that. I just want to talk about Outlander and, excited to be talking with you guys about the rankings from season three.
I love it.
I've given it a lot of thought.
Yay! Oh, I'm so excited. You know, and just like you said, you're just excited. It's crazy to think that we're just in April and we have to think to most likely late fall to get back into Outlander. And I'm just, hopefully early fall, actually. It's just very exciting to be able to have this conversation, to be able to chat with you. And Blake had earlier posted in the Outlander Cast Clan gathering that we were doing this episode and just the buzz about it. You know, I feel like everyone after the season ended, they got to watch this season again and we all had it. But the drought has been hard. The drought has been heavy. So I am so happy that you can join us today.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for inviting me, too. It's fun.
So what is your overall take on season three? Like, what would you put this in regards to if you had to rank it against the other seasons? What's your overall feeling about this season?
Right. Well, you know, I'm not as definitive about this as some people, but I will say, you know, I like season three a lot. It's an exciting book, and I am a book reader as well as a show watcher. And I thought they captured the book about as well as they could, given the fact that there was only 13 episodes and it was such a big book. But I have to say, season one will probably always and forever be closest to my heart. It's where I discovered Outlander. I had not read the books. I hadn't even heard of Outlander prior to watching the show. And I think, you know, season one will always be sort of number one for me. And then I really actually did like season two. I know a lot of people did not. But I would say I probably liked season three a bit better than season two. So I would say season one, season three, season two would be my ranking.
I'm right there with you. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
I'm the exact same way. Season one, it's got a very special place in my heart. Even for now, when you get to go watch back on it, you go, oh, look at Kat's accent in episode one and just so little cute things. Yeah, you're like, that's so cute. But really, that is what pulled us in. That is what pulled so many people in, especially people who hadn't yet read the books or hadn't read the books in general, like Blake, for example. So I agree. I'm right there with you. I am a 1-3-2. How about you, Blake?
I am probably the same. Yeah, you know what? Because two, again, you know, that's one of our commandments, the season that shall not be named. Season two is just, you know, the funny thing is I felt like season three is the opposite of season two. Season three started off tremendously. Like, it was unbelievable. And then as the season went along, it just got, like, you could see where there was a divide in the season. And I felt like the same thing happened in season two, where
there was a great divide.
There was a divide in season two, but the beginning was the part that was like, ugh.
Oh, I had fun. I've been having fun this whole flipping time.
I know. So, all right, are you ready? Let's quit wasting time. Everybody here, are you guys ready to get into our episode rankings?
Yes.
All right. Let's,
yes.
All right. Let's
absolutely.
Let's get to it.
All right, so we are going to count things down with our least favorite of the episodes, starting with the episode that you'd give, sadly, the 13th rank to. And Anne, we wanted to hear what your thoughts were. So the way that we are going to break down these episodes is we're going to go Anne's choice, my choice, and Blake's choice.
And then maybe have a little bit of debate, if necessary.
Banter.
A little banter.
That?
Hey, you know what? Banter, debate, argument. Throw in,
oh my God,
throw
I
in,
am
throw
so
in pots
bad
and pans
at debating and arguing. So how about just merriment? Anne, what do you have for number 13 on your list?
Well, I think I'm joined by many in this. And, you know, it's very hard for me to rank these episodes because I can find something that I like about each one of them. But I have to say for number 13 for me was Creme de Menthe. You know, I think it breaks another one of Blake's commandments in that the episode was really driven by plot and not so much by the characters. And they were just trying to jam a whole lot into that episode. Some of it seemed very disjointed to me as a book reader. There was some parts of it that didn't resonate with me. But I will say the one kind of highlight was Ian and Fergus and the start of their little bromance. I did love that part of it. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, the episode just didn't do it for me. I thought it was just too much plot, and some of it just didn't make any sense to me. So unfortunately, somebody had to end up in the 13th position, and for me, it was Creme de Menthe.
I'll be close. You'll hear that episode mentioned from me pretty soon. For me, episode 13 was Doldrums. And honestly, it was just because I couldn't shake the Jonah. The Jonah references stuck with me a lot in this episode, and I just couldn't. I'm not in love with Leslie and Hayes, and I just it wasn't great for me. What saved this episode for me was the Yi-Ten Chow bits. That's what saved it for me. Shoot.
You still cannot get that
you
right.
You know what it is? As I say it so frequently wrong, and then I listen back to the episodes wrong, whatever. Mr. Willoughby, that's what saved it for me. But it still pulls up the rear because it's that bitter taste in my mouth with Jonah. So sorry, yeah. Doldrums. How about you, Blake?
Number 13 for me is Creme de Menthe. Anne said it best. That episode just was terrible. And like I've had
don't mince words.
I know.
Don't
I've had words. I've had a lot of debate internally about this one because there are a number there's another episode here that I think could go here just as easily. But the one thing that I couldn't handle is the whole thing with Claire trying to save the guy that just wanted to rape her.
Completely unnecessary.
I know that she's a doctor and she has to save people against her better judgment and her personal feeling. I get it all, but what are we doing? And then stick it. Then I remember the CGI
smoke.
You're going
to say sticking? Were you trying to say the screwdrivering into his head?
Yeah.
You had a problem with that?
Well, it I don't know.
I was impressed by that.
No. And then remember the fire too at the at the what's it called? At the printing press. Mm-hmm. And remember all the bad CGI smoke? Oh man, I just I mean, there are a couple of good things about that episode, like the argument at the end and whatever between Claire and Jamie. Liked it, but man, number 13, yikes.
See you later, 13.
For me is creme de menthe. All right, number 12. What do you got, Anne? What do you got?
So my 12 is Mary's 13, which is the doldrums. And the reason I didn't like it was... The same reason Mary didn't like it was because of all the superstition, Jonah, the, you know, touching the horseshoe. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I don't remember any of that. And it could very well be that there was some of that going on in the book, but I don't recall that. And it just seemed like filler. And it wasn't clear to me why that filler was needed when they actually really did need to kind of move the story along at that point. So, you know, I didn't, that there were some wonderful Jamie and Claire above and below deck scenes that I really loved about that episode, that kind of salvaged it a bit for me. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just, the superstition stuff just seemed really odd to me, and I've tried to figure out why they went there, and I still haven't been able to figure it out. But I like the Jamie and Claire scene, so that was nice to see them, you know, sort of back together again and having their little tete-a-tetes that they did in this episode. So that's my number 12.
Mary, what do you got?
I'm the creme de menthe. I just flip-flopped with Anne. It was perfect. But you know, another thing, what you were saying about the doldrums, Anne, is this whole superstition stuff. I think what really, in addition to the Jonah, and I just found it really annoying, I had a difficult time with Claire being so anti-superstitions when I just kept yelling, you just traveled through time and everyone's been talking about fairies and sending people through the stones. Like, you did just do something that was to seen as others as superstitious. So I was wondering during the whole season, like, is something going to come back? Are we throwing in these superstitious things because we need to wonder and think that these are going to come true? And then they never did. So I... Creme de menthe, you guys, you were able to explain why that would be on the lowest rung for me. That is my second lowest rung. So how about you, Blake?
Number 12 is, and I got smoked for this take. I got smoked for this take in season, and I'm okay with that. I will not be take shamed. I will not be take shamed, and that is Of Lost Things. Of Lost Things, I just couldn't handle. I couldn't handle the fact that that Geneva was pregnant. I couldn't handle... the fact that, you know, the 1968 storyline with Roger and Bree, they're taking, in my opinion, I felt like that was taking away from Claire and her story, which needed to be told. Oh my God. And that awkward kiss. And while I loved actually Geneva, she made me feel bad for her. She was funny. God, I couldn't get over how soapy this episode was. I couldn't take it.
I hear you. I mean, the first time I watched this episode, I really didn't like it too much. Mm-hmm. I knew what was happening in this episode, and I knew this was the episode that this one thing was going to happen. But I just didn't really like it, and I ended up watching it multiple times afterwards. And the more I watched it, the more I liked it. And it's further up in my ranking. It's not as far down as yours, Blake, but it's not in the top five. And I don't think it would ever be. But, you know, the fandom as a whole really loves this episode. Mm-hmm. And I can see why in terms of the Willy bits. And there was a lot of pieces that they took from the book when Jamie was interacting with Willy that were really nicely done. And I think the ending of the episode was really well done as well with the Dylan song. But, you know, this actually is Diana Gabaldon's favorite episode of season 3.
Oh, wow.
As well. Yeah. She'd said in the past that she really liked aspects of the episode, but then she was promoing the release of the Blu-ray for season 3, and she did something for iTunes, and she actually was asked straight out, what's your favorite episode? And she said, of Lost Things. So this is her fave of the season. So, I don't agree with Diana on this one, but hey, you know, but I hear what you're saying. It wasn't my favorite from really the get-go.
I will say this. Outlander took some good risks in this season. And the Dylan song was, I think, the first good big risk that it took. I mean, at least creatively. Sonically or creative, however you want to put it. They took a great risk there. Because that is something that you don't normally hear in Outlander.
And that is
what I think helps save this episode. But yeah, for me, of Lost Things, I don't care what Diana says. I can't.
Yeah.
All right. Number 11. Anne, what do you got?
So my number 11 is Heaven and Earth. The one thing about this was there was aspects of Jamie in this episode that to me just did not ring true. He wasn't the king of men in some aspects of this episode, and it bothered me. I think it's because I'm a book reader, and there was just certain things and certain ways that Sam played scenes as Jamie that just didn't ring true to me, and that was the thing that kind of put me off. I did love Claire's sort of getting back into her role as a doctor, taking charge and doing anything she needed to do to get the sickness under control. But yeah, I mean, again, I thought it was a decent episode, but I think when I wrote about this, one of my lines was, where are you, James Frazier? Because we lost him somewhere along the way here, and I didn't like how Sam played it or how it was written. I'm not sure what, but it really put a damper on the episode for me.
Number 11 for you, my lady.
Okay, so I'm just gonna give a disclosure. This is where it starts to go into my gray. I rated this 5 kilts area already at number 11. I really had a lot of fun in this season. Man. There were things that I didn't particularly love about some episodes, but I want y'all to know that just because this is 11 doesn't mean I didn't love it.
It means that they're all just tied for first.
So, mine is All Debts Paid, and really... No.
Wow.
I know. What? I know. Wow. I know. I don't know necessarily why. It came down to I loved other things about other episodes a bit more.
Man, that is a hot take.
I know, but that's why I'm giving the caveat that, like, I actually love all of from 11 on up. I really love. It's just that there were more things weighing against this one that I was like, they have more checks on the yes category. So I'm just putting it out there because I know it's going to be touched upon in the future as higher episodes for other people. It is an extraordinary episode. It's just, there you go.
You're going to set the room ablaze with that hot take.
I know. I'm just putting it out there. I'm really sorry. I think this is the other thing is that I don't think I ever got to take it as seriously as I needed to because I watched this episode in Martha's Vineyard with Anne and with lots of members of the Outlander cast staff. So this was like a deep, deep time, right, Anne?
Yes.
I
hear what you're saying.
And this is like a deep episode, and yet I was just so jolly.
No, you weren't jolly. You were a little inebriated.
Yes.
We're going to put it that way.
And I can't not be smiling. And I'm like, oh my gosh, there's so much grayness, but I'm bumpting in this episode that I don't feel because I watch it and I just smile the whole bloody time. Like Frank dies and I'm still smiling because I remember that we all like raised our glasses to Frank's death, and it's just a jolly memory for me when it's a really like this heart-wrenching episode about, you know, lots of things. But anyway, we'll get back to that in other people's higher rated episodes of All Debts Paid. How about you, Blake? What's your 11?
The Doldrums. You guys have already talked about The Doldrums. I don't need to get into it anymore. Although I will say this, I actually quite liked all the superstition and all of the things.
What?
Because it gave you an insight into ship culture that otherwise I would not have had.
Okay.
And if you're going to be mm-hmm. on a ship for an entire episode, yes, delve into that continuity. Delve into that world. I will also admit that the Jonah thing got a little old. And they were just, it felt like they were manufacturing a way for Jamie to be the hero, mm-hmm. that he had to save the guy mm-hmm. On the thing. It just felt manufactured. It didn't feel legitimate to me. It was just like, we need Jamie to do something. We need action. Okay, what do we do? Let's have him save this guy. So because of that, I was not into it. In E10 show, yes, it was nice, but that also felt to me like, we need to give character development here. Let's do E10 show now. You know, it felt like they were just checking boxes off in this episode. And that's why I rank that number 11.
Ann, what do you have for number 10?
So number 10 is Surrender.
Wow, that's also a hot take.
And I was actually reading back over my ranking from the blog. And it's funny, I'm like reading through it. I'm like, there's like nothing negative here. It's all positive. So I think it was just one of those deals where I had to rank other things higher. I mean, you know, I love the Parallel Lives storyline. I think they did that so, so well. I was worried about it because I thought, you know, what are they going to do? Like a whole episode of like Frank and Claire. But they actually, I thought, did a pretty good job of bouncing back and forth. And then if you guys remember, this is the sort of feral Jamie episode. And I thought Sam was really great, did a great job with that. Mm-hmm. And I think it was something like you didn't even say a word for like the first 12 minutes of the episode, which is pretty remarkable. I loved being back at Lollybrock. That was nice. I don't know. There was some weird things like the kids shooting the crow.
Yes.
And that seemed weird to me. But other than that, like I'm looking at my ranking and there's not a whole lot in here that I didn't like. I think it just was one of those deals where I had to put it some and it ended up number 10. But, otherwise I thought it was a pretty decent episode.
You're running into the same problem that I have, Anne. You've joined the I love all these.
I am. It's very hard. It was really hard to do this. I told somebody it was like giving birth to like a 20-pound baby when I was like trying to rank these damn episodes. Because it's hard. It's really hard. It's hard to do.
Because
I'm like you, Mary. Everything's like a 5 for
right.
me. So, you know.
Right?
They're all
exactly.
tied for first.
Yeah. Yeah.
So my number 10 is Of Lost Things. And I'll just tell you why. It's because I feel awkward at Hellwater. Like I can't.
Yeah.
It's not my home. It's not a place that I love. I feel awkward there because I know Jamie feels awkward there. And I just am not happy being at Hellwater. Of course, we're speaking of awkward, we're supposed to feel awkward about all aspects of Bree in this episode, whether it's her attraction with Roger or her relationship with her mom. So I think I, in general, soaked up the Fraser awkwardness that happened in this episode, and it made me not give it all the love that I wanted to give it in compared to other episodes. So that's why it ranked 10 for me.
For me, it's the finale, Eye of the Storm, number 10.
What?
And I think that is more of an indictment on the fact that it's the finale and not just a regular episode. Because Outlander has been so awesome at giving us either mid-season finales or regular season finales. Mm-hmm. And this one just felt like a penultimate episode. It just felt like until the final scenes. That's when I feel like that episode really got into itself, when Jamie and Claire were finally reunited back on the boat. The boat sank. They're in Georgia. We have, you know, the great camera work on the beach and, you know, that wordless moment between them. Okay, we can start anew again. But there was also this, I still kind of maintain an awkward choice to have Matt Roberts direct it. I still feel like there was something fishy there. It doesn't feel right to me. Have it being a
fishy is it as a choice word you're using?
I know it just feels. It always felt like to me that it was, you know, for Matt Roberts to direct an episode, which is great because he's been a second unit director. Awesome, like more power to you, bro. But you know, we've had Anna Forster and all these great directors for finales, and then it's like we have a guy who's never directed an episode before for the season three finale. And to add to that, they had to chew up so much plot with the Bakra and the prophecy and then killing her and the whole shebang. It was like, where are we going here? It just felt like it was a million miles an hour, and it didn't allow us to take the time to breathe that it needed to, in my opinion. So that is why I rank that number 10.
Number 9. We are totally in the top 10, even though there's only 13 episodes. Whatevs. So what is your 9th choice, Anne, for this season?
So my 9th choice was Uncharted. And, you know, hats off to Katrina Bow for her jungle sequence. Mm-hmm. It was very well done. The cinematography was beautiful. Music was beautiful. But I just really question that we needed 20 to 25 minutes, I think it was, of her trudging through the jungle. I mean, I just thought it was a waste of time. It was well acted. It was beautifully shot. But I don't think we needed to spend that much time, that much screen time, to make the determination that Claire's a tough cookie and resourceful and all of that. So that's why this episode ended up where it was for me. You know, there were some great moments in this episode. I think the Father Fogden character was wonderful. He did a great job with that, the actor. I liked the turtle soup. I mean, that was very anticipated moment. I always love when Jamie and Claire do the love scenes where it's like fun and funny and they have, you know, a good time. It's not so serious all the time. So I thought the turtle soup piece was really great. But I just didn't think that we needed to spend 25 minutes trudging through the jungle with Claire. That didn't do it for me.
Mm-hmm. Number 9 for me was Surrender. A lot of the same points that you touched upon, Anne. I really enjoyed this episode. I loved being at Lallybroch. I loved Jenny. I remember so getting passionate about her while we had the episode recap of this episode about how devastated she was that she lost her sister, Claire, and how Claire didn't write and how hard that must have been. And really when it hit me more on rewatches about how hard this hit Jenny. Mm-hmm. And I loved just Laura Donnelly's performance in this episode. I loved Sam Heughan's performance in this episode. I loved Frank's, you know, I loved Tobias's performance in this episode, really realizing that, you know, that Claire isn't with Frank, that mm-hmm. Claire is with Jamie, and how hard that was. But once again, in a laundry list of 5 rated episodes, I needed to put something down, and it was the kids playing with the darn pistol and the crow shenanigans that mm-hmm. put this down on the list, because it was just, it felt cheesy. It felt cheesy to me as I pulled out my headphone on this. But yes, it just felt rather cheesy to me.
Mm-hmm. Number 9 for me is Heaven and Earth. And I say Heaven and Earth here because they're actually, I talked about how Outlander started to take some good narrative and story sonic chances in this season. And this is the part of the rankings where I liked the chances that they took, but it was surrounded by things that I didn't like. And that's why these are here at this moment. And for me, number 9 is Heaven and Earth. And the chance that they took that I liked was the fact that Jamie did kind of not be like the king of all men. He wasn't Superman. He made a poor choice. He tried to convince Fergus to do
join
the wrong
dark
thing,
side.
Right? And I liked that. As a character, you need that. You need that moment of being at your lowest point. At somehow, some way, you need your lowest point. And for him, and I'm not saying it's your lowest point, but for him, he's just doing anything he can, making even poor decisions to just get back to his wife. And I thought that was great. Another great thing I liked about this, too, was the editing, especially with when Pound dies and they cut straight to his body coming down through the water, you know, building on the previous visual cues that they've established throughout the rest of the season. I really feel like that was excellent. The part that I didn't like and why it's down here is the fact that there is just so many coincidences. And it's, and this is the part that the whole season kind of, well, this part of the season kind of runs into, which is, you know, like the guy recognizing Jamie after, on being on a boat of 400 people, and then Annika with her goats and being like, "Oh yeah, they need grass, and here, go do this, Clay. I'm going to give you all the money." And it's like the perfect Deus Ex Machina, you know, that you could ever imagine to get Claire off of that boat.
The camp friend.
So I didn't like that. So that is number the camp friend. Yeah, that camp friends. No thanks. Not for me.
Oh my goodness! All right, number 8. What do you have on your list, Anne?
So number 8, we've talked about it, of Lost Things. Was not the first time I watched it. Just didn't really like it. I did come to enjoy it more after several rewatches, but. I will say I actually did like the Bree and Roger scenes in this episode, because they're an awkward couple. You know, it's not the same type of relationship as Jamie and Claire, and it takes a while for them to develop their chemistry in the book. And I believe that the show is playing that as well. So, you know, I really love Roger as a character, and I think the scenes between the two of them I thought were really good, but again, wasn't my favorite episode. One other thing I will say, the casting in this episode was phenomenal. I mean, between Geneva and Isabel, and then just more scenes with David Barry as Lord John Grey, young Willie, Clark Butler, the young actor. Mm-hmm. I mean, just stellar casting. I mean, every time Outlander just keeps hitting out of the park with the casting. And I will say that's probably the number one thing about this episode I did like, but it ended up as number 8 on my ranking.
All right, my number 8 is Freedom and Whiskey. And let me just talk about...
how
much I love this.
That hurts.
And this is what's so hard, is because I love this episode.
Mary,
and
you're bringing it in today's podcast.
That's why I had to lay it down, that all of these are actually 5 in my viewpoint. I mean, first off, can we just talk about Christmas? Christmas and all the tchotchkes.
Oh, the Boston cream pie.
Oh my God, all of it. All of you guys know, a Christmas elf at heart. Once again, all of these are so good that I had to figure out like what were the things that I didn't like and see how those rated. I really wasn't happy with Sandy Candy. Once again, whatevs. She's a mean person for life, so I know she needed to come back. What stuck with me in the tough part of this episode was Brie going, "What is history?" You know? I couldn't shake that.
We can't trust it.
But I loved so much about this episode. I loved Roger in this episode so very much. Yeah. There was, Sam, like, kicked butt with his acting in this episode. There was great stuff. So once again, y'all know, this is still a 5 for me, but Sandy Candy and What is History were what put it further down the list.
What is history? Oh, God, that was so bad. For me, number 8 is Uncharted. You guys have already talked about it, so I won't get into it too much.
I haven't yet.
Oh, you haven't yet?
No,
okay,
no,
sorry.
It's higher than Freedom and Whiskey. I'm sorry.
I liked the chance that they took with Claire going through the whole thing in the 20 minutes of no words, and it was a great creative choice. Look now, 2020 hindsight. if I could do it all over again, would I have taken some of that away? Yes, probably, to get to more important things later on. But at the time, I really loved that choice. If I had the overall choice, I probably just would have cut half the doldrums out. Anyway, but the things that kind of wrecked it for me were. All the coincidences. The captain was dying. The boat just sinks. The crew dies. Jamie just becomes the captain.
Just trust in the Outlander universe.
He just happens to be on the same island as Claire out of nowhere. And then Claire grabs this mirror for no reason at all at the Fogdens, other than just cuz.
Because Claire cares about her hair. Let's be real.
Oh, man, that was bad. But I will say, the wedding at this episode with Caesar Domboy and how, like you just said, my darling, trust the Outlander universe.
Yep.
I remember saying this in our review. It just feels like Jamie and Claire are the proud parents of all of these people. Mm-hmm. And none of these people would be together if not for them. And I remember looking at those two and how proud they looked as the, you know, as Margus was getting married. I always feel like that was a great moment for them. And I really appreciated that. So that is why it's my number 8.
Okay. Number 7. Lucky number 7. What do you have, Anne?
So my number 7 is Eye of the Storm. And I am right with you, Blake. I felt like this episode as a finale fell really, really short. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have a very high bar, I think, with Outlander and previous season finales from previous seasons. And, you know, this to me just, while there were a lot of highlights in this episode, as a cohesive episode and as a buildup, as in previous season finales, I think this one just didn't make the cut. But, you know, even mediocre Outlander finales are still good. And, you know, there was a lot to like here. I mean, Lottie was fantastic. And Jamie's plan, you know, the onboard sex scene with the two of them was fantastic. And, you know, there's some really great CGI special effects. I thought they did a great job with the storm scenes. And, you know, Bear's music was phenomenal. But there was just something about it. It didn't feel to me like an Outlander finale at the end of the day. It just kind of left me wanting. And at the time, I wasn't really sure exactly why. But it just, I think it just suffered by comparison for me with other finales from other seasons.
You know, Anne, my number 7 is the same as yours, Eye of the Storm. I think if you had asked me, gosh, the week after the episode, after the season ended, this would have been much higher up just because we were all on a high. A lot of us got to get together for the Outlander cast season finale party. We got to watch the episode together. We were just so excited. But then in hindsight, watching it again, it threw so much. And there's so much that I love, the dancing and the references. It's still, honest to God, one of my favorite things about Outlander is the Druid scene and then being able to see it again with the music. It was beautiful. The sex scene, the plan, everything. Like, I loved those bits. But I feel like in hindsight now, watching the season through, I felt like episode 13 was supposed to be episode 13, 14, and 15. And I feel like there was so much that they just crammed in. And it was this chaotic roller coaster ride of one episode that we didn't know how to feel at the end of it. We felt so much. And it was almost too much that you kind of left feeling a little confused. Like, that was it? I felt a lot, but not how I think I was going to feel. So that's why I agree. It's right there in the middle. It's number 7 for me as well.
Yep. For me, it is the Bakra.
What?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And, you know, there are some really great things about the Bakra, like the bloodbath. I freaking adored that entrance. Because they, like I said in their review, they leaned really heavily into the absurdity of the whole gamut with Galas.
Yes.
By turning her into this campy B-movie kind of Bond girl who, like,
I would not call her campy at all.
Oh, no. She was. It was a little campy. It was a little campy. She's raping virgins. She's raping Ian. She kills husbands. And she's hell-bent on this prophecy that came out of nowhere. And she has this mysterious truth serum tea.
She's cray-cray. That's you know? What she is. Not campy. Cray-cray.
She is super cray-cray. And, you know, I think the problem that the Bakra suffers from a little bit is that, again, it's... they're just cramming so much into it. And they were like, okay, where do we even begin and end this one? And then the other thing I really hated was...
ooh, strong word, Blake.
The one thing I hated about this episode was all of a sudden the Captain Leonard just shows up out of nowhere and was just like, peek-a-boo. Hey, Jamie, what's up? You know, and they have to... They manufacture this thing to break apart Jamie and Claire again.
That was tough.
And I didn't like that. But that moment when Claire and Galas meet for the first time, and they're talking. It's just like this, they're both feeling each other out. It's just, the tension is just cutting. Oh my God. I really liked that one. And that's my number 7.
Okay, now we're moving into the top half of the episodes.
Let's
number 6. What do you have, Anne?
So I have All Debts Paid as my number six. Mm-hmm. And, you know, bias alert, the fact that Murtaugh Fitzgibbons Frazier is alive just really made my heart leap. that was just a moment for me to see the Godfather back. And I was just very, very happy to see that. So I like this episode. I thought David Barry was just stunning in this episode. He the LJG character for me was not something or some a character that I really cared for a whole lot in the books, but I am really changing my tune with this casting because mm-hmm. I think Barry's just phenomenal. And I think this was his first episode, if I'm right about that. And I think he just killed it and went on from there. But I thought he was great. This episode, as Mary had said, was an episode that we all watched together, many of us at Outlander Cast. And it was a kind of a moment for all of us because mm-hmm. of the somber nature of the end of it with Frank dying. But this episode's pretty solid up there for me at number six. And Murtaugh, that was awesome. So happy to have him back. And that's why this one's as far up as it is for me.
For me, Uncharted, it's catching up. I know it was a little lower, for others, but, okay. So that performance by Kat, I mean, we've seen her in so many different ways throughout the past seasons, but this was different. And at first I didn't like this extended survivor thing. But then I noticed on, you know, further viewings, I started to get thirsty. I started to feel hot. I started to feel itchy. And I thought, God, they did a really great job making me feel uncomfortable. Like, how would it be to be stranded a little bit? Mm-hmm. The wedding made me feel proud, gave me all the feels. But I have to say, I'm just going to give a little TMI reference right here.
Uh-oh.
Cover your kids' ears. But Turtle Soup made me so happy because hopefully, y'all, everybody listening has had tipsy sex. And there is nothing.
Just like that. A winner.
And this was like, you know, when you're just flirting and you're like, I know I have my buzz on, but it feels so fun to flirt and so fun to be doing all of this. And Turtle Soup, the way it was written was wonderful, but the way that they were able to capture this, I still can't help but smile and laugh because it really just caught that moment. And Turtle Soup is why this is so high up. So there you go, Uncharted. You're welcome.
How the hell do I follow that? How do I follow the tipsy sex comment? The whole episode's ruined from now on. All right, my number six is Freedom and Whiskey. Another great chance that was taken here is the Batman theme. I loved the Batman theme because it highlights an era of Outlander that you don't normally get to have. And it runs right into it, and it says, this is what we are, this is what we're doing, and we're going to acknowledge the absurdity of Claire creating this outfit to go back to the 1700s. In one night, right?
Hold up.
And she didn't like even sleep or nothing, no bags, you know, she...
All the concealer.
It was a great risk to take. And finally getting a genuine moment between Bree and Roger. And this is when I finally started to buy in. I could co-sign on Bree and Roger with this episode, with the Boston cream pie and the lobster rolls and the whole thing. Loved it. And then not only that, but coming up with the idea to subvert our expectation about the Jamie and Claire reunion with Jamie fainting. And Jamie not being the Superman, Jamie not being the king of all men, he just faints. And then just cutting to black. Oh my God, that was great. Mm-hmm. Yes, all of that. Thank you very much.
Moving on up, my favorite number of the entire world. It's my lucky number. Number five. What do you
Is
got,
it really?
Ann?
That's yeah. my lucky number too, Mary.
Get
it's my
out.
Favorite number, number five.
Get
I did
out.
Not know that.
Oh my
Something
God.
Else we share.
Right? I love this. Oh my, I'm smiling ear to ear. So what's my number five?
So my number five is the Bacra. And I love this episode. I thought the pacing of this episode was so good. It just, you know, there was just no time to breathe. Starting off, like, I agree, it was a bit campy, the bloodbath, but campy and just fun. And I loved how they reintroduced Galus, with that. It was phenomenal. I think the Willoughby Margaret Campbell connection in this episode, I thought was somewhat odd. It definitely was the rehabilitation of Book Willoughby. And this is kind of where it started, because Willoughby in the book is a real oddball and mm-hmm. not a very nice guy. But we didn't see that with the Yi Ten Cho in the show. And I think the Margaret Campbell connection was part of sort of the rehabilitation of him. But I love this episode, except the end when Jamie and Claire were separated again. I was like, really? Like, they threw that separation in because that was not part of the book. And I thought, you know, enough with that. I've had enough of them being separated. It was too much. But I love the pacing of the episode. I thought it was very suspenseful. Terrific character scenes with Galus. So this is in the top five for me.
So my five is a little surprise.
Mm-hmm. What do you got?
It's Heaven and Earth.
Really?
Yes. Because, wow. First and foremost, I cried. Elias, thank you. I liked to see Fergus be kind of his own man and stand up. I love seeing Claire in her element. Anytime I can see a strong Claire, which is almost every episode, but there are a few ones that are really strong, I'm happy. But actually, I liked that Jamie was different. And there's a little part of me that gets really happy that Jamie is a Taurus. I'm a Taurus. And I'm going to be honest with you guys. I mess up in life. Okay, there's times in my life where I'm not acting really the way I'm supposed to act, and I don't act the way I normally do. And so Jamie, of course, is king of men. We love him, especially book readers, and see him as this. And yes, he has his faults, but this was really different. And when I saw it, it took me back because I thought, what is this? This is another layer that I don't know of Jamie, but it made me feel okay. Cause I said, oh, there's times when I mess up. And I liked that he was able to not only mess up, but then admit that he messed up. And it just added this extra human layer that I myself was really happy to see. So that was my number five.
My number five, and I got a blazing hot take for you right here.
Oh, crapola.
Okay, you ready? A. Malcolm. A. Malcolm is my number five.
Wow.
And it's not that we're kind of getting into the territory here where it's all tied for first for me.
There you go.
But A. Malcolm is a little bit of a step but under the next few episodes for me. And the only reason why I say that is because everything is great. I loved the cold open with Jamie's life before Claire. I love how slowly Jamie and Claire become reacquainted with each other. And specifically the scene where he wants to know why Claire has come back and the whole broken nose thing. Like I loved all of that. But what kind of sets it back for me was we're at the end, we're put in this rape situation with the guy that she eventually ends up saving in Creme de Menthe, whatever. Mm-hmm. But what's worst is that they yada, yada, yada over the best part of the episode, which is the two, Jamie and Claire, talking to each other and getting familiar with each other. And they do it in a montage, in a voiceover. And that's why A. Malcolm, for me, is a step back, because lean into that. Don't tell us. Just show us how amazing these two are. Show us how great their relationship is. And seeing the two interact with each other, that would have put it up in the number one, if not number two for me. But that's what holds it back for me.
Yeah, but Blake, that was 20 years. That would have been a lot of yada-yading. I mean, I don't know that how could they have done that?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And that's why they're paid many, many, many more millions of dollars than me to figure that out. I just help run and operate a lowly podcast. But I still feel like having the conversations, or at least giving us something to sink our teeth into other than a montage, I feel like is a much better job in writing those characters than just giving us like the Rocky treatment. And I feel like I can't go along. I can't co-sign on that one. So that's that.
Okay. Well, I'll ding you belated ding.
Oh, sorry.
Ding.
There we go.
Gotcha. We're going to take a brief moment to tell you about today's sponsor. C. Simple Contacts, it's a super convenient way to renew your contact lens prescriptions or reorder a brand of contacts from anywhere in minutes. It's vision care for the 21st century, and it's super easy. So, okay, I am going this weekend to go visit Anne. I'm really excited. I'm going to be driving down to Virginia. I was getting things ready, and then I realized I got my sunglasses ready, and I am running out of contacts. It was not a good situation, because if you've ever worn glasses and then sunglasses at the same time, it's not a good look, guys.
You
look funny. So if you're blind like me and you're trying to go to the beach or maybe, you know, scuba dive or just wear sunglasses, it's not fun. So Simple Contacts, it has this awesome app, and it's going to make renewing your contact lens prescriptions and buying contacts wicked easy. You can do it in 5 minutes from anywhere. All you need is a phone, a computer, your current contacts, and about 10 feet of space. So a real doctor is going to review your tests, renew your prescription, and you can buy whatever brand you already wear. It's really easy. Now, this does not replace the fact that you should probably see an eye professional once a year. You do need that occasionally, but it is a super convenient way to renew a prescription and reorder contacts if your vision hasn't changed. They saved my trip. They saved me a bunch of time, saved me money, because the prices are really unbeatable, and I am super pumped because we are now able to offer you a great discount. Of course, if you go to simplecontacts.com/outlandercast or enter outlandercast at checkout, you get $30 off your contacts. So bada bing, bada boom, fellow blind friends, got you covered.
Are you ready to get back to it?
You bet.
Let's do it.
Number four, the final countdown. What do you have?
Number four, the battle joined for me. So I am actually one of the people, while I do love the epic love story of Outlander, I really like the politics, the war, and the battle scenes. Mm-hmm. And I was so excited to know that Ron Moore was going to recreate the Battle of Culloden in some way, shape, or form in this episode. And man, did they do a great job. I thought it was spectacular. And Sam Heughan blew every expectation away that I had for retelling that battle. I thought it was just so well done. The final clash between Blackjack and Jaime was just way more than I could have ever imagined. You know, there wasn't a lot of description in the book about that actual final clash. In fact, I don't think there was any. A lot of it's retold over future books that Jamie's recalling of what actually happened. And, you know, Tobias Menzies, man, just nailed that in the sort of unscripted, unblocked part where he puts his hand on Jaime and then they both fall over together. It was just so amazing. So I really love this episode. There are a few episodes, and like you said, Blake, I think we're getting into the territory where any one of these could probably be the number one. But the battle and the way that they depicted it was great. Grant O'Rourke as Rupert was phenomenal in this episode. That was just gravy to me after the battle, and how he sort of, you know, ran the show in the house where they were all getting executed, but he did great. Overall, it was delivered in terms of any expectation I had for how they would portray the Battle of Culloden. Mm-hmm. Which actually today, we're recording this, is the actual anniversary of the Battle of Culloden.
Oh my
April
gosh.
16th. Yes.
Yes.
It is. 1746, April 16th.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Thank you for pointing that out. I lost track of dates. I wish I was kidding. My number four, I think you just said it, Anne. Any of these can be number one. My number four is A. Malcolm. And I feel bad putting this here. I wanted it like in the top three, but it just, you know, it all of these are number one in my heart. For all of the reasons. Yes, they get back together, but that sweet awkwardness of seeing each other and re-finding each other, but still knowing each other deep down. It was so beautiful. I loved seeing things from Jamie's perspective in this episode. It was really fun. It was such a treat to go into that print shop. I just really had such a lovely time being a fly on the wall in this, I don't know, just in this moment to see these two people who we love get to be back together again. So I loved this episode. So please, everyone who's listening going, oh, why is that number one? No, that all of these are number one from here on out.
Mine is First Wife. I really enjoyed this mm-hmm. episode. And it comes, I think, all at the end of this episode, my enjoyment for it, which is that final moment of doubt from Claire on the ridge. You know, Claire is finally having consequences for the choices that she's made throughout the season. And she asks the question, am I supposed to be here? And oh my goodness gracious. And then having that shot at the end when Wee Ian gets taken and you have the two, our title couple on the beach, and it pans way out to show how small and insignificant they are in this giant story that we're about to tell. First Wife is one of my favorite episodes of Outlander. So that is that.
Number three
for me, A. Malcolm. Mm-hmm. And let me say, I will give Matt Roberts a hand for this, because what a tough episode to write, in that the expectations around this episode were just so incredibly high from the fans. But I thought part of this episode to me was that, obviously Jamie and Claire reconnecting, but it was so real and so as I said in my write-up for the ranking, it felt real as opposed to sort of fairy tale-ish to me, because these two people had a lot of insecurities about themselves and doubts and anxiety about whether in fact they were going to have that same connection that they had prior to being separated. And I just thought the lead up to the brothel scenes was so well done. Hats off to Matt Roberts for writing what I think is one of the better episodes of all the seasons mm-hmm. of Outlander. And, mm-hmm. I actually said this in my ranking. I love the wedding from season one, but in some respects, I liked this episode better because it was more mature love and, ultimately more interesting to me than in the long run. These two still had that passion that they had at the beginning of the relationship, but it just felt more satisfying to me because it was just more mature than sort of the roll in the hay wedding episode, which was great too. But mm-hmm. but that's one of the reasons why I loved it.
Yes, yes, so much so. Okay, my number three is First Wife. I love this episode I love this episode so much because you have such a great range of feelings, even when you don't even necessarily want to. Hogmanay, bring it on. I talked about it earlier. I love any kind of Christmas merriment, whether it's past, present, or future, bring it on. Searing Leary and how beautifully she acted in this, Nell, how wonderfully she did in this episode. It was really fun for me as a book reader to watch this episode sitting next to Blake, who had not read the books, and to see his reaction while this truth bomb was just blown up right in front of Claire, and then also, to Blake. So for any of you who are listening, who have friends who are going to be newly introduced to Outlander, make sure you watch First Wife with them in person so that you can see their reactions about this. I mean, yes, what I didn't love, though, throughout the earlier part of the season is how they sprinkled that little bit in. I would have rather that this be the big bomb, but I still feel like it was really great. So I adored this episode, period. The end.
The thing I liked about First Wife, too, was the fact that you could actually see a reasoning for why Jamie would be with Leary. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
I'm not saying it was legitimate, but I'm saying you could see the thinking behind it mm-hmm. and you could feel for Jamie, and you're not like, oh my God, Jamie, what the hell? But like, for me, number three was All Debts Paid. And I hate to say that because we're saying goodbye to my boy Frank and Bear McCreary with his hashtag Bear Flair. At the end with the car wreck scene and the clarinet, but also introducing piano to Frank's mm-hmm. theme to give it a little bit more of a solemn feel to it. I loved it. I loved the whole thing with Sandy Candy or Candy Sandy. I loved this episode. And I loved the fact that we got to see Lord John Grey and how and Jamie and the whole deal with this episode was just really good. I don't know much else to say about it.
Number two. Oh, the final two. Okay, Anne, what do you have?
Okay, so my number two is Freedom and Whiskey. And I watched this episode like 15 times in the first week. I'm not kidding you. I don't know what it was. I just loved it. And, you know, yes. I love historical fiction, and I love that Outlander, you know, intersperses a lot of historical fiction in the books, whether it be about the Jacobites or, you know, Bonnie Prince Charlie or, but I loved that part about the Robbie Burns mm-hmm. poem and how, you know, Roger found that, and that was how they ended up knowing that that Jamie was still alive. I just, mm-hmm. I love that.
Yes.
It was so good. And I wrote a blog post about it, and I love this episode. I love, as you said, Mary, the Boston apartment all dressed for Christmas. I loved the Boston cream pie. And I mean, just, I don't know. There's just something really warm mm-hmm. about this episode that I really, really, really loved. And part of it was just historical reference to Scotland. But it definitely was in my top three, and I went back and forth, but at the end of the day, I think this turned out to be number two. And yeah, the bat suit piece, I actually thought that was super kitschy, but very clever. Mm-hmm. And who would have thunk it? You know, I mean, never in a million years would I thought they would have inserted the Batman theme into Outlander, but it was just really well done. And I thought it was great. So yeah, this will probably be one of my most favorite episodes of all of Outlander's three seasons. I don't know. There's something about it. I loved it. And yeah, it's my number two.
Oh, I love it. I love the enthusiasm. Oh my gosh. Right. Okay. Number two, this is an odd one. Hold on to your butts, everybody. The Bakra.
Whoa. Mm,
yes.
And I can see that.
You know, it's once again, just like how I wasn't able to shake from the doldrums, the whole Jonah reference, the Leslie Hayes bogusness, I still cannot shake Galus coming out of that bathtub in blood and her musical theme that was introduced in mm-hmm. in that scene. And I just loved Lottie in this episode. Goodness gracious, all of that. Her interaction with Wee Ian, it just hit me so hard, and it truly is one of those monumental moments for me in this season that I will never forget. Mm-hmm. I will never forget that scene. 20, 30, 40 years from now, people won't have to say, "Oh, do you remember that part?" and me scratch my head. No, this is going to be one of those moments that I'm like, "Of course I remember that part." It was mm-hmm. one of my second favorite episodes because of that part. So that alone is something that if there was poster art of season three, that would be one of the multi parts. Mm-hmm. You know where they do those collages and poster arts for movies and everything where there's like different characters?
The leg coming out of the blood.
That would be it.
Oh, yes.
And because of it, that's why it's so high up, because it is something that has stuck with me and I cannot shake, and I love it for that. Mm-hmm. Between Bear and between Lottie, and also knowing that how hard it was to create all that blood, it just was a really special episode for me and a great turn of who Galus was as a character from the book. It was a very different version of Galus than I was expecting. Mm-hmm. So I enjoyed it for that. So that's why it's number two.
And talk about Bear Flare, by the way. Galus's theme being a perverted version of the Stones theme.
Yes.
Oh my goodness gracious. Which kind of leads me to my next, my number two, which is Surrender. Because first of all things Laura Donnelly. As Jenny,
we bow down to Laura.
I'm currently reading the first book of Outlander, the first book, and by the way, check that out at Blake's Book Club, patreon.com. It's a selfless, shameless plug. I'll never forgive you for it, Jamie. You know, like, oh my God, just that whole thing. Laura Donnelly, just she. Jenny has quickly become, especially in light of the book, one of my, if not like my top two favorite characters of Outlander.
Yeah.
I have a book crush and a TV crush on Jenny Murray. She is just amazing.
I can be down with that. I can hang out. I can handle that. How about you, Anne? Are you down with Blake having a TV crush on Jenny?
I am, because I agree with you. I think she's phenomenal. She's a great actress, and mm-hmm. I think she's just embodied that character. And I agree with you. Those scenes in Surrender with her and Jamie were great. Mm-hmm. And I think she's, yeah, I approve.
So
you can have a crush on her.
Good. I'm glad I got the approval. But the reason why I kind of brought up Galus and everything with the bear flare, because, you know, it was one of those moments where it kind of blew my mind. But this gave birth to the first pants off moment for Blake. And that was when at the end, Frank and Claire are in the bed. And they're saying goodnight, and everything seems to be great.
So cute and cozy.
Everything seems to be freaking awesome between the two. And then they pan out, and it's separate beds, and it's Frank's theme, and it's all playing all the while. It's a visual trick. Oh, my God. I loved that whole scene. I loved this episode. It was phenomenal.
All right, here we are, the number one episode of season three. What, in your opinion, gets this title, Anne?
My number one is First Wife. And yes, believe me, I was shocked that this was my number one, because I was really thinking, I was not looking forward to the whole Leary reveal at all. But I don't think that I can ever, for as long as I do these rankings, I don't think that I'll ever be able to choose a number one that isn't basically about Jamie and Claire. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there are other episodes that I really liked, but they tended to be not about Jamie and Claire. Maybe it was about, you know, the Bakura or whatever. Mm-hmm. But to me, Outlander is always going to be about the story of Jamie and Claire and the Frasers and the people around them. And this episode for me was about how these two people are always faced with such incredible challenges throughout their life together. And they just face them over and over again. And we just go through that with them and repeatedly. But yet they seem to always get it together and manage to make it through. You know, they're flawed, they're imperfect, but they always prevail because they've got each other. So for me, this episode just embodied that. I mean, that was a pretty big blow that Claire had to suffer. Mm-hmm. They kind of worked through it. She was having her doubts, but they came together in the end. And I think the way that the Leary scene was done was excellent. The final scene, the pan out as you're thinking, oh no, they're leaving Scotland. I mean, that was just so well done. But you know, it's always going to be about Jamie and Claire for me. And mm-hmm. this was my number one. I went back and forth a little bit on it, but I'm pretty confident that I would be number one today, tomorrow, and the next day. but yeah, no, it's a great episode. Really well done.
Oh, I love it. You know, for me, it took a few times, you know, really going through the episodes again to know which one shook me the most mm-hmm. for this season. And this season was a funny season. You know, as I said, even with the finale of Eye of the Storm, it felt like it should have been three more episodes longer. And this season, Jamie and Claire did feel apart for so much of it. And they were apart for so much of it. They get back together and then they flip and go into the ocean. So the battle joined, even though they weren't necessarily together. I loved the longing, and I loved to see how hard and true they missed each other over this span of many, many years. I was happy to see Rupert back. I just really adored him, and having that time with him was very, very special. With Grant, now that we've gotten to, you know him as a human being outside of Outlander a little bit more too. But the battle joined was just so beautifully shot. The cinematography of mm-hmm. that episode.
Totally agree.
Right? It's
yeah.
it's something, and I'm so happy that that was the premiere. That's, I think I was expecting that feeling from the finale. Like, what this did right is what I feel like the finale did wrong. Mm-hmm. This, it punched you in the gut, and yet it bedazzled you visually. Mm-hmm. We had a proper goodbye to Black Jack Randall that I wasn't necessarily expecting to see, as beautifully choreographed as it was and shot. And that's why The Battle Joined, it hits me over and over again. As much as I love having Jamie and Claire together, I actually, this episode, seeing how they haunt each other when they're not together, was very poignant. So I love this episode. How about you, Blake?
Yeah, my number one matches you, my darling, and that is The Battle Joined. And I say that because, you know, each season I feel like there has always been an episode that perfectly encapsulates Outlander in many ways. And the first season, in my opinion, it was The Garrison Commander. The second season, it was Dragonfly and Amber. And this season, it was, in my opinion, The Battle Joined. It was ethereal, like, you know, with Jamie dreaming about Claire, and it took its time. The scenes with Rupert and the people dying, it wasn't afraid to be bold with silence. Mm-hmm. And then you also said something too, my darling, where you said about the Bakra and how you'll never, ever forget the leg coming out of the bathtub. I will never, ever forget that moment when Jamie and Blackjack Randall see each other on the battlefield. And Tobias Menzies, oh man, that I talked about having a crush on Laura Donnelly. My man crush on Tobias Menzies, I've said it before and I will say it again, it maybe should be a new commandment. It knows no bounds, my man crush on Tobias Menzies. He does this thing where he just turns his head. There's no words, there's nothing. Mm-hmm. It's just the two of them. And when he puts his hand out to touch Jamie, and the way that the episode was edited, how it was reflections from Jamie as he's sitting underneath Blackjack Randall, remembering the whole thing. Oh my God! This episode, and then also intertwining that with Jamie touching the stones after Claire disappeared into the stones. It's the perfect Outlander episode. It has everything. And not only that, seeing Claire and Frank in the future and how their battle is just beginning between the two of them, this episode was absolutely perfect.
Aside from the fact that Claire and Jamie aren't together.
Yeah, but they are and they aren't.
Yeah. No, I think I hear you. And, you know, let me just say, too, I think it's interesting how we've been going through this, and so much of the moments that we think about why we like an episode has to do with the music. Mm-hmm. So shameless plug. I just finished a new post for the blog, which, yay, I think will be going up in the next 2 weeks or so, where I sort of count down the top 10 musical moments of season 3.
Awesome.
And there's so many things that we talked about here that are in that ranking, because to me, a musical moment is something that it touches me, that I get, like that feeling you said, Mary, where it just, you know, where do you really feel? And there were so many of those moments. It was tough to nail, you know, to really narrow it down to 10, but we've covered a few of them already, but that should be a good post coming out, I think, in the next 2 weeks or so.
Yay!
So shameless plug for that.
Love it.
Everybody can look for that coming up.
Oh, I love it. And you know, I've loved having this discussion with you, Anne. It has been so fun because, A, I love chatting with you and I love chatting about Outlander. But what really shook me is how different all of our top, you know, lists were.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that it just shows that there's a lot to love about Outlander. Everybody has a different perspective. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's because you've read the books or not read the books. But, you know, all of these episodes were wonderful. I'm not nitpicky about them. If I have to, I will be, but, you know, it's a wonderful series, and, the show has just grown and matured so much since season one. And, you know, I'm an unabashed Outlander freak. So
as are we all.
I love it all, really. But yeah, it was interesting to see everybody's different take on it. It was fun to hear you guys break it apart too. So
likewise. Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us about this. It's been an absolute joy. All right, Blake, you ready to wrap up the show?
Yeah, let's get it done.
Thank you guys so incredibly much for tuning into this episode. The Droughtlander is hard, the Droughtlander is long, the Droughtlander is rough, but guess what? There's other television shows out there, one of which is called This Is Us. And you're like, wait a second, you mean that one on NBC that everybody watches? Yes, we mean that one. We're late to the party. We are. But it's okay, because there's a loving, cute little marriage there, and we can pretend that they're in Scotland, I guess. But actually, it's a very different show, and I just want to let you know that we're podcasting about it. The podcast is called This Is Us Too, and whether you watch the show while it aired, or if you wanted to rewatch it, or if you wanted to start anew, we would love for you to join us. So you can find us in whatever podcast app you're listening to this in, just by searching This Is Us Too, and hopefully we can help make Droughtlander a little bit less harsh. But really, this was awesome. It was so awesome to talk about Outlander again and to listen to this music and just be back at it again and to have Anne on and to relive all of this with you. So I hope you're having fun. Make sure that you're a part of the Outlander Cast Clan Gathering, where we continue these conversations. The Outlander Cast Book Club is another great resource if you're a book reader. And if you would like to contribute to the show, we would be more than thankful for you to contribute as a patron. Blake, tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, you get all these great benefits out of being a patron. One, of course, is the Blake's Book Club, where you get all of my thoughts, and sometimes even Mary, on Outlander, the book, and how I break it down, and the way that I review the chapters. And each is about between 15 and 20 minutes long, so it's not this long slog of a listen. It's just me going to town on Outlander and having fun with the book. But also that, not only that, you can get free t-shirts, you can get Mary and Blake swag, you can get episodes early, you get to have video chats with Mary and I. These are all specific rewards of being a patron of Outlander. Oh, not only that, Minute with Mary, you get a 10% discount if you become a $10 level patron of Mary of Outlander Cast. If you want, and 10% off of any products from Minute with Mary.
So a huge shout out to Peg, Anne, Bobby, Liz, Carolyn, Sharon, Tracy, Lisa, Meredith, Sue, Keelan, Meredith, Dana, Mary, Michelle, Jennifer, Lauren, Heather, and Marilyn. You guys are of a level that we wanted to give a super, super huge shout out, and a shout out to all the rest of our patrons, because really, guys, this is just a way for you to keep the podcast going. Think of it as like your public radio. You know how they always do those, like, oh, you can donate to keep this going? Well, that's what a lot of people do, and we thank you so much for it. And we're looking forward to the next episode of Outlander Cast. So keep your podcast app subscribed. Make sure that you're following us on Facebook. Check out the photos on Instagram if you're not following us there at Outlander Cast. You'll definitely want to check that out. And until next time, ladies and gents, my name is Mary Larson.
And I'm Blake.
And you've been listening to Outlander Cast.